The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Here we go, baby. It is K4Wins. A lot of people say, why is this show called K4Wins? Well, we're all K's. I'm Curry. We have a Tiff. We have a Case Keeper. And we have a Kai Gregory. And, of course, there's four of us. We win. That's what it is. K4Wins. I mean, I don't want to make it easier for you. Go to K4Wins.com, K4Wins.com, K4Wins.com. Check us out. And, of course, you will see it. Hear it, and to get everything, we get our plays every single week right here on a wonderful show. And as I'm sitting here watching this thing, I'm still says that I'm uploading the recording. There you go. Okay, good. I want to make sure we're good to go. We got so much stuff going on with sports going on. Obviously, college football is the thing we're going to be jumping on most of all the way through the playoffs. We have NFL action going on last night. College hoops kicked off. Watched that Florida-Arizona game last night. That Pete kid, that freshman, is unbelievable. And on top of that, we have NHL and also NBA. So tons of stuff.
Stephen Pearl off to a good start, Tony.
Stephen Pearl, you know, you and I had a really interesting show yesterday. And I was talking about my Cincinnati Bengals and then how if you're an Auburn fan, you just been left out in the dust. Auburn does not care about you. They don't care about you. The whole Stephen thing, I don't know if Bruce is fixing to put the program on probation or something. The whole fact that he left when he did – the only reason you bring him in is to go win a national title. We know we can do that at Auburn, but yet he never got it finished. And all of a sudden he splits, and now all of a sudden his son, who I didn't even realize was on the staff, was on there. And then you fire your head coach after you lose to Kentucky on Saturday. They don't give a damn about you guys. I'm just telling you. And the other thing is Auburn right now is probably about the seventh or eighth best. People are saying Rhett Lashley's coming back to Rhett Lashley is not leaving SMU to come take the Auburn job because the SMU job is better. They're building better. I mean, they may not have the same facilities or the same money, but it's a better place. And he can take SMU to a national title.
He just signed an extension this week. Yeah.
So anyway.
To say they don't have the money is just absolutely wrong. I mean, they're in Texas. They got oil money at SMU, just like what Texas Tech has done. I think SMU has plenty of money. But I also think it's huge overreaction, seeing Auburn overreaction today from the game last night. They played a team, and I know they're supposed to kill them. They shot 55%. From the three-point line. I saw six made threes from the team with somebody right here in their face. When a team is hot, that's one of the great things about college basketball, for sure. When you get teams that are just shooting like that, I mean, it is what it is. And by the way, I coached high school for 20 years. And here's a saying I love, and I love it for every single sport. An ugly win is better than a pretty loss, and he's probably going to learn a ton from his first game coaching.
He better. Because they're not expected to lose games to Bethune-Cookman. I don't know what the line was on that.
They've even dropped the Cookman. Now they're just Bethune.
Bethune, 24. Yeah. 24? Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, listen, I hear you what you're saying of pretty losses, blah, 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 bullshit.
Yeah, I get that.
That's
not a good look.
But you lose that first game, there would have been hell to pay.
It's overtime against Bethune at home. Go Final Four team. Yeah.
They better find themselves pretty quick.
And their next 5 or 6 games, and they're 7-0. Then everybody will forget about this, and they'll be like, oh, okay, well, they're 7-0.
I hope you're right.
What concerns me, and I know people probably think I'm too much into this, but just I agree with Kai on the three-point shooting. I mean, if you could just give me one thing out of every basketball box score, I want to see the three-point shootings. There's so much variance. But the one thing I will say, this part of the college basketball season, all these games where it's like a power conference opponent taking on just a totally overmatched team like Bethune or someone – almost always the favorite teams, and it really opened my eyes yesterday. Actually, a little bit of money came in on Bethune, so someone that knows something doesn't think Auburn's going to be that good. So that kind of perked my eyes up a little bit, thinking I honestly thought they'd probably come out and blow them out, just because there's a little controversy there. You need to kind of put your foot down early,
reassure the fans.
Yeah, the betting market movement concerns me probably more than the actual part of the game, because it does seem like there's some skepticism with
the crazy thing was Bethune was in that game the entire time. I mean, I don't think they were down by more than 4 or 6 points. I mean, they were playing neck to neck with them the entire ball game. Wasn't it? They went on a late run or something.
It's also one of the dumbest fouls I've ever seen at the end of a game. Fouling somebody that's on the other side of half court shooting a three-pointer to send him to the line to shoot 3 free throws.
And oh, boy.
It was just absolutely moronic. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, okay, so it shouldn't have been that close. I get that. But the Auburn is going to have a little bit of a chemistry issue because Bruce did leave so late. But also they have, what, one starter back from last year?
Yeah.
They almost have as many transfers as UAB.
Almost, yeah.
Broome was such a foundational piece of that team. Him not being there now is a huge change.
That's a great point. Let's since we're getting the college hoops, and we watched them last night, and certainly we're going to talk a ton of college football here. We have the first poll coming out later on tonight, and we're going to be doing something during this show. It is going to be Kip's top 10. We did top 10. We can all do our own top 10, but we're going to base this off of what Kip's going to do. He's going to do his top 10 teams, best teams, not deserving teams,
yes.
not who he thinks is going to get voted in. These are Kip's top 10 teams. We'll do that during the show, and of course, we can certainly talk throughout it, and we can add our own teams because obviously we're picking.
Because Well, it's not quite that bad, but I'm not going to compete with the clown show in Grapevine, who is talking about who's most deserving and who's the storyline and balancing out, making sure everybody gets a fair allocation of teams. I'm only interested in the 12 best teams because that's what they're chartered to do. Pick the 12 best teams, and the 12 best teams are not the ones that are in the rankings right now necessarily. Because, you know, it's too obsessed with wins and losses. That I'm just going to tell you who I believe each week, that's how I'm going to counter the clown show, is the 12 best teams, and I'll be happy to hear your guys' reaction.
Which means that you may have a week, and I'm assuming you will, that you don't have any group of five teams in. And people are like, well, wait a minute, is there going to be a group of five?
No, I'm not going to mention a group of fives. I know they're a reality.
Now, if there is a group of five team that's good enough, if they're one of the top 12 teams, then blood them
in. Which Boise was allegedly last year, which we found out was BS.
We'll do that a little bit later on. Let's hop back on college basketball real quick.
Let's do it.
Because I know Case is just fantastic at futures. We are one game into the season. A lot of teams haven't played yet. Some of those future bets are still out there. And I just love to know where your brain was going into the season. Who do you got winning national titles? Naismith Player of the Year. I want to hear all your stuff going off. Case Keeper, take it away.
Mr. Futures.
Yes. Yeah, I did make some Wooden Award bets. That's what's up. I know there's several Player of the Years, but Wooden is what the sports books.
The big one, yeah.
I actually bet a bunch of championship futures at the end of last season. Just I was trying to get ahead of some moves. So I'm guessing most of those prices are gone. My favorite probably is I'm assuming by the conventional polls, Purdue's number one. I have Purdue at 15-1, so I feel pretty good about that. I'm guessing that's probably gone now. I hate that I had to do it just because they broke my heart so bad last year. But I got some Houston as well. They're my lowest actually at 12-1. I still think they're going to be the class of the Big 12 and the best. Longer shots, although this one isn't a longer shot, and I feel pretty good after last night, even though they didn't cover. But I just think that the talent on BYU is just overwhelming. But before I think it really settled into people, it being BYU, people didn't realize. So I have them 18-1. Then two longer shots at 25+. I got Michigan and Texas Tech. Texas Tech, I think, is awfully good again. They did lose Darian Williams. I thought he was coming back when I made this bet. He went to NC State. He's getting some, like, All-American buzz at NC State. So that's not ideal. But I think they might have the single best player in the country, which brings me to the Wooden Award. Obviously, like, Braden Smith at Purdue is the favorite. He should be. He has a chance to become the all-time leading assist in NCAA history this year. But he's, like, plus 250, 2-1. I can't bet that. I had to take some longer shots. Well, one non-long shot, I did take JT Toppin at 10-1. I think the only thing that's going to scare you with Toppin is his health. He's missed games like every year, but when he's been on the floor, he's been a top five player in the country. God, just heartbreaking to relive all this with how against I was that Florida team last year, but they had Florida beat largely because of him and Darian Williams, who I mentioned, and they fell apart. I think if Toppin stays healthy, he's absolutely guaranteed to be in the top three. So if I have to take one of the top guys right now at the odds, it would be JT Toppin. And two longer shots that more fit with us. I'd be interested to hear Kai's opinion on this guy. I don't know if he had a great night last night. I didn't really look at their box score, but just reading the exhibitions and how much they're going to rely on him. And Tennessee every year recently has had like this super high usage player. Seems like it's going to be Gillespie, who really impressed me last year at Maryland. I bet him 60-1 to win player of the year. I mean, Tennessee's been like a one or two seed, it seems like, every year, always with this guy just dominating usage. Like I said, well, it was Lanier last year, of course, Dalton Connect before that. All these guys have been finalists. I just thought 60-1. I know they have one of these awesome freshmen too, and what Nate meant. But it seems like Gillespie is going to be the guy with a team I think still has that top 10 upside. I took him at 60-1 and 100-1. I don't actually love this Alabama team as much as I've loved several coming in the last few years, but I really think Filon's going to be just the guy they go through. And we know that you know, with the way the team is built, and Nate Oates is going to get 100 possessions in every game. I mean, he is going to be running up and down. I feel like Phylon could put up some huge eye-popping stats. So I was kind of surprised to see him at 100-1. So I'm starting my portfolio a lot different than last year when I literally only had Jani Broom to start. But I went with three. I went with JT Toppin and then the two SEC guys.
All right. So we got some of your individual players. Give me some dark horses. Of course, we love March and Madness because of the Cinderellas. And give me some off the beat path types of teams that perhaps you're looking at that maybe we should be paying attention to. Maybe you don't really have a bet on, but you could be surprised if they don't cause a ruckus come March around the corner.
Yeah, I mean, this might have to be something we circle back to throughout the year.
Sure, absolutely.
I'm just getting my feet wet now. I think most of these other sports we start talking about, I work really hard to try to get all my numbers ready for win totals and, you know, all the crazy markets that are up. In college basketball, we don't have a lot of that. So I kind of take these first few weeks are kind of preseason to me. So I don't have like a bona fide, I really love this team sleeper. I will say, I mean, again, I've only been at the top level, but I think people are, as weird as it sounds, because they're always at the top, I think people are kind of sleeping on Gonzaga and thinking this is going to be one of their weaker teams. Tyon Gant-Foster, who played at Kansas, who played at Grand Canyon, got his waiver. The NCAA loses like every court case. They lost another court case, yeah. I think, like last week. He got another year of eligibility, yeah. Which I think really knocks Gonzaga up to me. I think Gonzaga is going to be as good as ever. I think they'll probably be in that like 2-3 seed conversation. They lost a lot of close games last year. People think they had a down year last year, but I think from an efficiency standpoint, they were still fine. So they're one I'm looking at. Yeah, I just don't have a whole lot of sleepers. I guess big picture, the thing I'm really excited about, and you already mentioned Pete, the Arizona kid who was just unstoppable last night. This freshman class is just unbelievable. It's taken me back to like 20 years ago when you know, everyone had to come for the one and dones, and Dickie V was yelling about the diaper dandies. I mean, we were talking before the show. If you had me list like the top 10 freshmen I was most excited about, Pete wouldn't even have made the list, and he was the standout of night one. I mean, then you saw AJ DeBanza, I think you say his name, the BYU kid, making $7 million. Darren Peterson from Kansas, I think, had almost 30 in his opening night. He's got buzz about being the number one pick. The Boozer twins at Duke. I mean, this freshman class is something we haven't seen in a long time. I think that's going to make it fun to watch.
No,
Friday night, you got Peterson, Kansas, going to North Carolina, you know, with Caleb Wilson there. That's going to be a good matchup to see, you know, what goes on. By the way, Gillespie had 8 points and 6 assists and 4 turnovers. He got in. Tennessee was turnover central last night. Rick Barnes used every timeout, used 3 in the first half after back-to-back-to-back turnovers by him. Nate Ament was one of the only two in double figures with Estrella.
So I needed 100-1. I should have waited. 60-1, not looking great.
Yeah.
And by the way, a kid who did not get any playing time last night for Arizona because there was no mop-up role, but you may have mentioned it just because of his facial features, Bryce James, of course, LeBron's other son, is on Arizona.
Oh, really? I didn't even know he had another son. How about that?
Yeah, Bryce.
He's going to get drafted by the Lakers next year, you know.
For sure.
His name is Bryce Maximus James. So we're looking for the maximum, so the 18-year-old out of Arizona. So we'll find out what exactly. But yeah, he was on the bench last night, and my son brought it up. I was like, really? I didn't realize there was another one besides Bronny. So it must run in the family, as it does. All right, let's jump into some about college football. Let's mix it up a little bit. I want to go straight to Kip's top 12 because I know we're going to have a lot to say about this. Then as we go through the top 12, then we can certainly talk about the games that these teams have going into this weekend, of course. And yes, we'll talk about the LSU-Alabama game. Alabama giving up 10 in that game. A lot of people think that's a little heady. Auburn-Vandy minus 6.5. Kentucky-Florida, a pair of 3 and 5 teams no one really gives a shit about. Who else? So BYU-Texas Tech, which is really interesting. No one giving any love to BYU. Texas Tech has given up 10. How about the Notre Dame Navy line? Navy goes into that game last week, of course, undefeated. They get beat by North Texas. They're getting 26.5 against Notre Dame. And I know you've been all over Notre Dame all year long, Case. And, of course, they came up short against Boston College. I was on them, too. They just came up lame. Their offense didn't look like worth a shit the entire game. So we got a lot of games to get into. But let's get into your top 12. These are the best teams in college football, not the teams that are deserving, not the way you think it's going to be voted tonight, not the way you think it's going to be at the end of the season, but your 10 or your 12 best teams right now.
Yeah, because just like the people in Texas each week, this is going to change. This is as of right this minute, right today. This is my top 12. And I will say I have to give some props. Case last week strongly objected to Kai and I, including Georgia Tech. Clay, or Case, you're right. Kai and I were wrong. Tech really stunk it up in at NC State. So they are not on my list. And thank you for pointing out the deficiencies. I think Kai and I got a little seduced by Haynes King, but we found out that he is not walking on water because that was a disastrous performance for them. So with that being said, let's get to it. I don't have eight Southeastern Conference teams, but I do have five. And I think Oklahoma's played their way back in. I think the Tennessee game last week was a game that the winner was still going to be alive with a pretty strong pulse. The loser was going to be out. So I think Josh Heupel and the Volunteers are gone. So I've got, of course, the obvious top four in the SEC, that consisting of Texas A&M, Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss, and Oklahoma. That's five teams. As of today, that I believe are five of the best teams in the country. I don't have one of our favorite discussion points in that group. I don't think Texas is in the top 12. I've got them just on the outside looking in. I still don't like the way they the first half, they certainly, if I'd have made my poll at halftime, I would have had Texas in that list. But the way that they just clung to a three-touchdown lead and almost gave it away against what I consider sort of a overachieving but a mediocre Vanderbilt team. I'm still not willing to declare Vanderbilt a legitimate contender. So I've got five SEC teams. I've only got, and I'm sure this is going to be a point of contention, I've only got two in the Big Ten because I think the Big Ten is historically horrible. I think 10 of the 18 teams, that's more than half because I've just downgraded Nebraska to the bottom feeder category with the other nine that I already had summoned there. They've lost Dylan Raiola for the year now with a broken leg. They're going to start a true freshman. Nebraska lost at home to USC in a game that that they absolutely had to win to even be considered a decent team. I've got Nebraska as the bottom feeder now. So only two teams in the Big Ten. I've got Ohio State and Indiana, of course. I don't have Oregon because I'm not a believer in them. Their win over Wisconsin 2 weeks ago, 21-7 at home, really soured me on them. And they don't have a signature win this year. They're all right on the outside looking in, but I don't have them included. I do have the two teams in the Big 12. Certainly Texas Tech is a strong representative on that list. They play BYU at 11 o'clock in the morning here, local time. I guess that means, is that game at 10 a.m. Mountain Time? That's,
it is. Mm-hmm.
Yes, oh, good grief. Or are they Pacific, Case? I mean, let's see it. No, that's it's Texas Tech. Yeah, that yeah. They're Central. I've got that wrong. It's 11 o'clock local time. Yeah. I was thinking about the game being at BYU. It is at Lubbock. Mm-hmm. So it's 11 o'clock kickoff. That's a weird game for such a big showdown game, but I do have both of them right now in my top 12 teams, and BYU is only a recent entrant because I thought they'd get tripped up a couple of times in the last couple of weeks, and all they do is keep on winning, so you have to give them some props there. In the ACC, that's kind of a mess. I guess you have to grudgingly include Virginia. I still don't think Virginia's a marquee team, but I can't leave them out and keep this next team in who they haven't played, who has actually lost to one of the teams that I'm leaving out that I don't want to. But I still believe, despite the fact that their coach is a complete moron and the program is leaking oil badly and their quarterback is a mercenary who doesn't take responsibility for anything, I still believe Miami is one of the 12 best teams in the country. I can't get past. I know they've had two terrible losses. They're not deserving, but I still think, even though they lost to Louisville at home, I still think they are a better team. And if it's the best teams that we're trying to determine, that's I have to keep them in the equation. But it's very tight with them and Louisville. I almost had to grudgingly put a third team in. And Notre Dame, unquestionably, is one of the 12 best teams in the country, even though they had the bobble at Boston College, which I know I overemphasize
historic precedent. But Notre Dame never plays worth a damn at Boston College. If you can go back the last 8 or 10 years, they never just go in there and wax the BC team. I don't know if it's the Irish Catholic influence hanging over the air in Boston.
Those damn Catholics drinking too early the night before.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, we talked about this. It went from 28.5 to 32. Like as soon as I got out of bed on Saturday morning, I mean, everyone was loading up on Notre Dame. And normally when that happens, it goes the other way. It seems like whenever that much steam comes on a team at the last minute like that, it usually bodes well to go ahead and take Boston College. They're a horrible football team. They've got one victory in the season, but they came within 15. So you mentioned a couple. The Oregon Ducks. I think they got a really interesting ball game. They're going to Iowa this weekend.
That's a big game. They could be right back on the list because Iowa is probably, in my estimation, in the Big Ten, them and USC are the two best of the middling teams. I've got all about five or six teams in the middle, three on the top tier, Oregon barely hanging by a thread on that top tier. But the bottom tier, I think the rest of the league is just garbage, all 10 of them.
I think that's going to be where a lot of public money comes in on Oregon, not just because it's under a touchdown. You mentioned Texas. I would probably have them in my 12. I know you don't, and you can certainly make an argument for that. It's amazing, though, because if you did a blind test and said, listen, I've got a team here who lost to the number one team, has beaten two top 10 teams, would you put them in the 12-team playoff with two losses? I'd say, of course I would, and that's Texas. They've beaten two teams.
But they also lost to a team with a losing record.
They did 3-5 in Florida, and week in and week out, we don't know what Florida's going to do. They look great against Georgia this past weekend, losing by 4 or 5 points. So, yeah, but Texas, 69 points they've given up the last 2 weeks. This team, and of course, they get the bye week this week. They need it, and of course, they got Georgia coming up next. So we're going to find out just how good Texas is as they take on the Georgia Bulldogs. Any other thoughts on his 12-team, guys?
Oh, I have a lot.
Oh, let's go, baby. Yeah.
I want to say, first of all,
I can't believe your expressions just waiting for your response.
No, first of all, I agree. I know it sounds like a lot of times we're arguing stuff. I agree with 95% of what he said. I jotted down my 12 teams. You know, I'm not lying. We have 11 of the same. I would have Texas 13 or 14. So it seems like we're right in the same ballpark there. But the one thing I think you have to knock him on, and it's just an undisputed fact, I don't know what they did to him, but his hatred of the Big Ten is just so above and beyond. I don't think the middle of the Big Ten is that bad this year. I get what he's saying about the bottom teams and they're really bad, but Oregon, Virginia, I just looked real quick. You put that on a neutral site, Oregon is a 20-point favorite. To not have Oregon in the top 12 is just absolutely insane to me. Yeah, they don't have a signature win, but and they struggled with Wisconsin, who's finally getting healthy a little bit. Oregon has to be in the top 12. And I'm not even a big Oregon guy. I bet against them this week. I took 6.5 with Iowa. I will be absolutely shocked if they win all these last three games. I think it's a quietly tough schedule. Iowa, Washington, USC. But that just speaks to the strength of the Big Ten to me. I think those middle teams are actually pretty good. I think they can beat the good teams on a good day. So
Illinois, Iowa, USC. Yeah, I mean, Michigan, they're okay.
So I think Oregon just has to be in there. And again, I'm not as high on the Ducks, but I agree.
And you're kind of convincing me because I realize now that I've done what I always cuss the committee for doing is justifying. And by inclusion of Virginia over Oregon, who's the very next team down on my line here, because I said they were just barely on the outside looking in. The only reason to justify my inclusion of Miami, I think I said, well, I got to take somebody in the ACC that's actually unscathed. And this is an interesting fact. We haven't talked about this, you guys. Virginia is not unscathed. They lost to NC State, but that was not considered a conference game. What the hell is that all about?
Yes, yeah, so it's so stupid. The same thing, it's not going to end up mattering, but in the Big 12, Kansas State and Arizona had a game scheduled before they were conference mates, so it's not a conference game either. Or maybe it was Kansas State and Arizona. It's ridiculous. I couldn't believe when I saw they were undefeated in the conference. I didn't realize that till this week, too. I was kind of like Kip, though. I thought the big one that I'd have to justify and fight for, even though I don't – this is why resume and what you do has to play into it, because I don't think Miami deserves to be in the playoff. They shouldn't. But bottom line, they're favored over all but like seven teams right now.
I mean, aren't they like a 30-point favorite this week?
Yeah, they have the worst coach in the nation. We've talked about it. I mean, it's easy to key on his game mismanagement, which he did again against SMU, but also just the fact that his teams, I fall for this every year. They look amazing at the beginning of the year. They're so great, and they just get worse. They never progress. I think I saw he has a losing record in the ACC past Halloween, which is just insane. But the bottom line, I used the example that Virginia would be a 20-point dog to Oregon on a neutral field right now. Miami would be a 3.5-point dog, to give you an idea. So just playing best teams. If you do the betting market, anyone with power ratings, Miami's still going to be in there. That being said, I don't want to see them in the playoff. They don't deserve it. I think Utah has to be kind of the bottom of that top
12. And they're right in that next group too for me. Yes.
So maybe we only had 10. I might have missed two ones. I did have Utah like 12th. So maybe we had 10
because they look. I stayed up and watched that game the other night against a pretty good Cincinnati team, and pretty, boy, Utah is surging right now.
Yeah, the Sorsby kid's a pretty good quarterback. They made him look bad. They
did. Yeah, and Dampier was hurt. He missed one game, I think, and supposedly was really banged up for two other games. It's been a big controversy in the Big 12 with the stupid injury report that they don't take seriously. So when they've been healthy, they've been awesome. So maybe we only have 10 of 12 the same. I did have the 5 SEC. I had the 3 Big Ten. Notre Dame's still clear to me. Boston College, I don't even think their offense played that badly. You look at the numbers, they had, I think, 8.5 yards per play. It's like two straight weeks where Louisville and Notre Dame just pounded them but couldn't get in the end zone. I think they've kind of switched to the modern bend, don't break defense, and I guess hats off to Boston College. They've done it well. They beat us 2 weeks in a row, but I wouldn't downgrade Notre Dame based on that performance.
There you go. And would you take them again, minus the 26.5 against Navy?
I did not bet them this week. The streak is over. It's exactly what I made it. I will say it made me feel good, too. I was kind of had some trepidation Friday. We were talking about it. I was like, man, the Notre Dame team has come every week and hasn't come this week. It did come before kickoff. It was the 31-point favorite. This week, I made it right at 26. So Navy's defense is so bad. I couldn't get involved either way.
Let's go SEC right away. Alabama giving up 10, over under 49.5 against, obviously, LSU squad that's just a train wreck. It's been a train wreck, and we know what's going on there. And Alabama's got everything in the world to play for. Previous ranked right now number 4 in the country with that 7-1 record. Kip, what's your thoughts on your Crimson Tide giving up 10 plus a field goal? Well, the touchdown plus a field goal would be 10. What do you got?
Well, we discussed this a lot earlier in the year about the effect when a coach is fired of how a team reacts. And I think they didn't do Alabama any favors by running Brian Kelly off right now, because unlike the Billy Napier deal where you saw Florida play an inspired game and you really got a sense of how talented that Florida roster is and how bad a coach he was to not get more production out of that team that's now lost 5 games. I think this LSU team's got a lot of talent as well. And unlike Billy Napier, did you guys read the article in The Athletic of people just coming out of the woodwork talking about what a complete jackass Brian Kelly is? That's going to be such relief in the ranks of LSU. If this guy was this bad a tyrant and so indifferent, didn't know people's names, wouldn't talk to anybody that had a question. I mean, all the things that are coming out about Brian Kelly is he's the biggest,
Which should say a lot about Woodward and the hire in the first place. I can't believe that they hired him in the first place. I mean, I haven't been on vacation with him. I've gotten a chance to have dinner with him a couple of times. He's an aloof, weird dude, but the fact that they put the kind of money out to pull him away from Notre Dame at LSU. But again, he's got a great agent. He's got a great agent. He may be at Georgia Tech. He may be on a lake somewhere this next summer football season, but he's got a bank full of cash right now. And he will go down, believe it or not, as one of the greatest college football coaches we've ever seen just based on his win-loss record, which is unbelievable.
Yeah, I guess so. But, you know, anyway, my point is I think we've seen the bump from the teams that get rid of their coach the next week. And I don't think LSU has anything to lose. They've got a lot of players, and Alabama's just been kind of skating by. I would not be surprised if LSU covers this spread and makes this game interesting.
Kai, what's your thoughts? I know you got a lot of people that just bet Alabama day in and day out, regardless of what the line is. What's your early line?
You got two games that we get the coaches bump that we always talk about, or we might with LSU and Auburn. You know, will we get the bump there? I looked at it this morning, and still 9.5. What I saw, I would love Alabama over their team total in that game. Looking, I mean, with the total is what, 48.5, I think. So, you know, if they're a 10-point favorite, you got to figure their team total is going to be somewhere right around 30.5, just depending. I would, or maybe if you can get it below 28, I'd absolutely jump on it. I think Alabama at home should roll. Maybe the coaches bump gets LSU late in there, but I've just not been impressed with LSU at all year.
K, Case, a lot of plays into the bye week. I don't see it. Everyone talks about, well, they had the bye week. They had an extra week to prepare. I think that's a bunch of hooey. Sometimes I think they're better off not to have the bye week, but Alabama certainly had that. A lot of teams have the bye week before they play Alabama. This time they have it before LSU. Your thoughts?
I was actually going to say a little bit of the opposite. I don't put too much into it, but I think LSU definitely gets a bump for the interim coach, like we said, and it seems like Frank Wilson's a liked guy they're going to play hard for. So I totally agree. You got to give them a little bit of a bump for that. But I think Alabama deserves a little bit of an upgrade coming out of a bye. You know, I know we've talked about what they had, the five straight games against teams that at least people thought highly of at one point. I still say, if you run it back again, I think it's highly improbable that they win all five. I think they had some good fortune there. But, I mean, it takes a toll to play that many physical, you know, games against good teams. So I do think getting a week to rest up, I think you got to give them a little adjustment for that. All that being said, I came out with nothing on this game. I do think I picked, I go through all the games and write my column on Monday. So I do think I ended up picking LSU, but I just labeled it a guess. And I think it was 10.5 then. Now I'm seeing mostly 10s. I see 1 9.5. That would be a little bit tougher for me. I made the game 10.5, actually. I just maybe I take the interim coach bump a little bit over the bye bump, but I think both of those are positives. And, you know, I guess it just lands us in a spot where I think the number is about right. I will say the other interim coach I did bet on, it's moved a little bit, but I took Auburn plus 7.5 at Vanderbilt. Now I see 6.5 sevens. Maybe I'm crazy, but we got to go back to, it's just a little jarring to see Vanderbilt a 7.5 point favorite.
Really?
Against anyone, just the way they play, even take away, they've been better than Auburn, there's no doubt, but you know, they're going to try to play fewer plays. It's going to be like kind of a bruising, slow game, interim coach bump. I just, more than a touchdown, I definitely couldn't get there. I doubt it will get back there, but you never know with the cold of Pavia. So I did take Auburn plus 7.5.
Yeah, right now everyone's just jumping on Pavia just because he's a fun-looking kid to play, and he's got that big smile. I mean, the guy could just sling the football all over the place, and everyone's loving them just because of him, for sure. Another game that's outside of 10, I want to get Kai's thoughts on Texas Tech. That was one of Kip's best 12 teams. Giving up a 10 spot to BYU.
You know, big game BYU. In the morning. Yeah, wow.
Game in the morning. So right out of bed, man. Get out of bed and lay down some action on that, and K4 wins. What's your thoughts on Texas Tech, BYU?
I haven't pulled anything. I think I see 9.5. That's what I've seen, you know, all morning, at least on the sites I was looking at. But I like this Texas Tech team. I think that they're going to be irritated after last week. I just think Brock Meyer may – come down, back down to earth. I think BYU may come back down to earth in this game. I mean, I've been wrong before. I like the Brock Meyer kid, but I just don't think the rest of the BYU team, when I look at the rosters position by position, Texas Tech should blow them out.
Case, your thoughts? I see you nodding your head.
Yeah, this is when I got the worst of it. I like being able to give some realities. I feel like a lot of games you ask, but oh, I got this number, it's moved. I actually had open. I was more than happy to lay 10.5 with Texas Tech. I've just been waiting for the spot to kind of fade BYU. I know I think you guys might have jumped the gun a little bit a couple weeks ago because I think Iowa State's a disaster. But I just feel like this BYU schedule, and I know they beat Utah. That was a great game. That was one of the games where Dampier was banged up, though. Play that game again, I'm confidently making Utah.
And why did they play that game early? That's a huge rivalry game. I don't like rivalry games early in the schedule.
Yeah, I think it's something with the conference schedule now that they're conference-based. Yeah. I agree. It's better at the end of November. Maybe they can figure that out. BYU, I think, has been really good in the trenches. I think they've won the game up front in against all these teams. But again, I think you look at the competition, and I don't think they've played a really good defensive line, especially, and Texas Tech has probably a top five defensive line in the country. I just think the way they've been winning games, you know, gutting out these yards, but behind winning in the line of scrimmage, you know, Bachmeier hitting people. I just think Texas Tech, is a lot more physical, a lot bigger. And I just don't see Texas Tech losing up front. And to me, and I think Texas Tech's numbers might even be a little bit deflated now with, you know, Morton having missed half the season. He was kind of rough for the first two possessions against Kansas State. I think he might have thrown a pick. But once he settled back in, I mean, they kind of looked like the behemoth they were early in the season. So I kind of smell Texas Tech blowout here, but the market's moved against me, so we'll see.
By the way, that's going to be our first game coming right after the starting lineup.
Really? So it's not an all SEC day on ABC for the first time in 6 weeks.
It is not. It is Texas Tech. And
interesting.
BYU's got, of course, a Texas Tech this weekend. Then they got TCU, Cincinnati, the 25th team in the country. They're going to be on the road for that game, and then UCF. So They're 8-0 right now, sitting there pretty, and we'll see if they can go unscathed. But I would totally agree with you. From the
A real quick question. Do you guys believe, because it looks like, to me, the Big 12 and the ACC may come down to just being a one team, the champion of the conference is going to should be the only team getting in my opinion. Maybe Utah's surging and it's coming on, but do you think this committee's going to have the guts to just have one team from a power conference? Or are they going to feel pressure to at least have two or three?
I think they'll do one just because I think it's early and they know they can change their mind. We've seen them do this. They've done things where they put teams in like 2 weeks to go. They put them in the final 12 knowing they're going to win out, knowing they're just going to take them out and not give them a spot. So we've seen this. We've seen this knucklehead committee do this over and over again. So I wouldn't be surprised if they do one. But I, at this point, I don't think they're going to be paying attention to it, to be honest with you.
No, but hey, Virginia and Georgia Tech, I know that they're not even on your radar, Kip.
Well, they were. Virginia was in my top 12.
Their own destiny. They control their own destiny. They win out, they're in. Both of them. If they win out, they both make the championship game, they're in.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. If they went out, yeah.
With the actual quality of the teams, I think it would be a disaster if more than one ACC team got in, as I think the ACC is just terrible. I want to make a case for Utah, but I feel like that BYU game is really going to hold them back. I do think Utah should be in the conversation. I will say, though, I agree with Kai. Georgia Tech does kind of control its destiny, because as much as I think they're not that good, and I think by any predictive measure, they're going to be more in the 20s than the 10s. I mean, if they beat Georgia and they have one loss, they're going to deserve it. And the only other way I could see the ACC getting more than one is if there's just complete chaos, including Notre Dame losing. I still think there's a case to be made for Miami being one of the 12 best teams. And it looks like even if everything breaks right, it's going to be hard for them to get in the ACC championship game. So maybe if there's complete chaos, I could see the ACC getting two that way. But I don't think any of these teams are that good. And Miami is that good, but they just shoot themselves in the foot repeatedly.
And their coach is an idiot. He calls timeout. It's 4th and 9. There's under a minute left of the game. They need one stop. And he calls timeout, which induces his dumbass defensive end to run into the quarterback after they signaling for a timeout. It's a personal foul, and it's a 15-minute penalty, or 15-minute penalty. It might have well been a 15-yard penalty that gives them a first down and run out the clock. So, good grief.
Another really sneaky good game.
Actually kick a field goal to tie it. I misspoke.
Another really sneaky game. A&M undefeated in the season going to Mizzou, who, of course, has lost two of their last three games. They lost by one, or actually three, to Alabama. They lost by a touchdown to Vanderbilt, so two top 10 teams. You can certainly make that argument there. And all of a sudden, Missouri, we've seen this out of the East so many times, Missouri, how many times they've won the East, and they just get absolutely bludgeoned in the SEC championship game. But that line's 7. Kai, what's your thoughts on A&M having a – unscathed perfect record after they go on the road? And of course, we know what it's like to go on the road in the SEC.
Double digit win. Absolutely. Missouri, especially, I mean, with their situation on offense with their quarterback, and I know they've got a good running back, and Hardy will probably go for what, 150, 160, who knows? But Texas A&M, I mean, the way they're playing, I think it's a team of destiny, if you will, for them to at least get to the SEC championship game. And Missouri is overrated. I mean, come on. They who have they beat?
No, but well, they don't. It's Kansas.
Who have they beat?
That's their signature win.
You're right.
They beat South Carolina, who playoff guaranteed. But hey, real quickly, thinking about this, the four plays that we put up beginning of the season, our biggest four futures that we posted, Tennessee under 8.5. Looking like it should be right on it. Alabama over 9.5, looking like it should be on it. Florida under 7.5.
Mm-hmm.
It things under. And NC State over 6.5 after this weekend.
Wow.
NC State's got a shot at that also. Those four in college football have a legit chance at getting all four of those.
Yeah, we looked at we actually looked at those last week. I went through all the futures that Case had thrown out there, and yeah, the Case's futures are looking really, really good, certainly for K4 wins as well. So, Case, your thoughts on A&M giving up 7 there on the road in Missouri?
I think it's really interesting injury-wise game. Of course, somehow I hate Missouri more than any of us, but I've been the highest guy on them all year. I have been impressed, but I think that has to be with the knowledge that it was with Bo Perbula, who everyone wanted in the portal, got paid a ton of money. I think it was with him at quarterback. Now you lose him. You're going to a true freshman whose name I can never remember.
Zollers, yeah.
Yeah, it starts with the, whatever. So if I made this number just based on what had happened so far this season, I would have Texas A&M a 3.5-point favorite. But how much of an adjustment do you make for a true freshman quarterback who came into the year fourth or fifth on the depth chart? They had Sam Horn, who basically by all accounts outplayed Perbula in training camp. They had two other older guys. So this guy was never going to see the field this year. And clearly he's done something right because he's passed up two upperclassmen to get this opportunity after both Horn and Perbula went down. But the betting market says that's worth about a 3.5-point shift from Perbula to this guy. To me, I would, in the inexact science, you just got to kind of guess. I think that's a little light to me. I think it probably should be a touchdown, especially going up against this defense, who I do have concerns about them from a rush defense wise. I do think they could run on them. Maybe Hardy does get his. They have two great edge rushers. They've gotten pressure all year. Even if this kid looks good in practice, is he really going to be able to stand back there and constantly take these NFL guys in his face? I don't know. I laid A&M -6. I see 7 now. I think 7 is fine. I think Missouri's had a good year. I think schematically, at least, I think he's a buffoon and I don't like him personally. But schematically, I think Drinkwitz is really sharp. So I think he'll probably do the right thing and slow this game down, try to increase variance. I think he'll have the right strategy. But I just don't know. Throwing a true freshman quarterback who's going to be fourth or fifth on the depth chart coming into the year, that kind of scares me against a team that I think's been consistent and has that pass rush. So I like Texas A&M.
Kind of like me, a little over 48.5 in that game too. A&M's been putting up some points as well. They're 6-2 over-unders right now. And of course, Missouri can put it up as well at home. Another interesting game that's just kind of jumping out at me, Penn State, obviously they've just fallen off the face of the earth, but they're catching 14.5 against Indiana, who's still riding high and get done despite what everyone says. Should they be in the playoffs? Darn toot, they probably should be. Right now, giving up 2 touchdowns at Penn State. And I know you love the Big Ten. Kip, what's your thoughts on that particular game? Would you even mess with that?
I mean, Penn State mustered up an effort in the first half against Ohio State, and then they quit like the dogs they are. But this is another game where, you would think as a player you'd be excited to play this game, and you've got them at home. That's a lot of points, but, Penn State is really, really a dumpster fire. They've lost 5 in a row. They lost to 2 of the worst teams in the conference, Northwestern and UCLA. I mean, it's really inexcusable what's happened there. I don't even know who's running the show from the quarterback standpoint now, but it was only 17-14 against the unapproachable Buckeyes at halftime. So that gives me a little bit of hope that maybe they can keep this game in a manageable range. Indiana keeps blowing people out, and it's the Cignetti signature. They trashed Maryland last week and get a lot of equity for that. But I still think maybe they can hang for a while, but I just think this team is totally tossed in the towel. So I expect Indiana will keep trying to tack points on and probably wind up covering.
Kids, let's go around the horn. Give me 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 12 great plays for this Saturday. Go.
I just looked. I've bet Indiana 5 of the last 6 weeks. The only one I didn't was Iowa, and they didn't cover. And they've come through for me all but once. But I'm not betting them this week, actually. I had this number right where it should be. You got to think at some point they have they encounter some trouble. I don't know. Penn State, like I said, I was impressed, like Kip said, in the first half. But so no Indiana for me this week, no Notre Dame. I know I haven't talked about Indiana as much, but I have a little bit when it's come up. So it's a little bit of a sea change for me this week. Let's see. I talked about Auburn. I just trashed this team, so it's funny that I'm betting them. But this is the second week in a row I've actually been on Virginia. I laid 6 against Wake Forest. I think everyone just thinks they suck and they deserve to lose one of these games, which they do. They've been lucky, but I think the skepticism has just gone a little bit too far, and we're seeing their numbers really depressed here. So I laid 6 with Virginia. Another game around then that Kip touched on, thinking Nebraska is going to fall big without Rayola. I agree, even though Rayola hasn't been great this year. I think they have a true freshman too, whose name I'm now forgetting. It starts with an L, like Latafi or something. I laid 1.5 with UCLA, who I think has been a lot better under Tim Skipper. I know they got blown out against Indiana, but everyone gets blown out against Indiana. So I laid the
At Indiana, yeah.
Yeah, I laid the really small spread with UCLA. I guess it's an LA type of week because, and this might have moved, but I've actually been impressed with Northwestern. I would not put them in the bottom four of the Big Ten. I mean, I think they're a win away from bowl eligibility. I think they're really well coached. They're like a lesser Vanderbilt to me, really. And I know it's just the smart school thing, but they play a lot like Vanderbilt. They have a much worse quarterback in Preston Stone, but they've been able to kind of scheme around that. That being said, you know, my rule with USC this year, bet on them at home, fade them away. I happily laid 14 with USC for that Friday night action. I think USC trashes them. And just to finish it off, one more Friday game, or we'll be talking before Friday. So maybe I should give an earlier week game. I laid it with Akron tonight. If you're interested, I think the market has a tough time pricing these truly terrible teams, and UMass might be the worst team at the top level we've seen like in the last 5 years. And Akron actually has some talent. TJ Finley, the former, where did he play? NC State quarterback.
Where didn't he play?
Yeah. So I laid it with Akron tonight and Friday. I like Tulane and USC.
There you go, Kip. We got football every day this week. Again, I know you always like some early games.
I'm sorry, guys. You guys are a lot more into this than me. If anybody watches Akron and UMass, you really need some psychological help. I will not watch a second of that game. I'll watch a rerun of MASH or something before I'd watch Akron and UMass.
It's Ben Finley, by the way, not TJ Finley. Sorry, but he did play at NC State.
Because I was going to say, if TJ Finley's still playing, he's eligible for Social Security. That's unbelievable. He was at LSU, Auburn, Kentucky. He's been every place.
Ben Finley.
And I think he's probably still playing somewhere. Anyway,
starting quarterback at Wake Forest.
Oh, that's right. He is at Wake Forest. Good grief. These guys Pavi has played for 9 or 10 years. These guys, unbelievable, playing college football forever. And like Case says, every time the NCAA tries to stop them, they lose in court somehow. So I don't know how that works. Anyway, we touched on these two teams a little bit, but I think Iowa is just a pain in the ass at home. Oregon on the road at Iowa. Iowa's a home team catching 6. Oregon might win that game, but if they do, it'd probably just be by a field goal. That one kind of jumps out at me. I really think that Auburn's going to be a team unburdened here. They are not as I think a really compelling question is, and maybe it's been announced, but I haven't heard the interim staff's designation. Who's going to start at quarterback for Auburn in that game? Are they going to go back to Jackson Arnold because Hugh got tired of him and fired him and put a guy in that's playing high school football? Have you guys watched this Ashton Daniels? He doesn't stay in the pocket for 2 seconds before he's taken off trying to run. It's just like watching a high school game. The guy's not ready to be a quarterback at the major college level. And they've got this other guy, Deuce Knight, that's supposed to be the great savior. He's in bubble wrap on the sideline. He's not seeing the field. This is supposed to be the guy that's the future of the program. Hugh kept saying, you know, we're this close. Now, Hugh, you're this close beyond the firing line. I wonder if this new coaching staff breaks out Deuce Knight and we see what he's got. But I just think Vanderbilt's a lot of the air is out of the balloon. If they had not fired Hugh Freeze, I would love Vanderbilt in this game because I think Auburn basically has taken on his personality and quit. But I think they're going to be revived now with the assistant coaches pulling the strings. And I like them and the points at Vandy, but I wish I knew who was going to be the quarterback. LSU, Alabama, we talked about the bump there. I think LSU's got enough athletes to hang in. If that line stays or classes us down to 9.5 today, I'd much rather have it at 10 or more. But I think that's going to end up being a competitive game. I think Navy getting 26.5 at Notre Dame is too many. I know their defense is terrible, but I think they can score some points. Notre Dame absolutely is one of the 12 best teams, but that's an awful big spread in a game that, I think Navy can hang around and, you know, only lose by 3 touchdowns perhaps. And I completely agree with UCLA. I cannot see Nebraska coming off a deflating loss at home against USC. who's of course not a very good road team historically. I think Nebraska's done. I think they are going to the bottom of the heap. And UCLA has in flashes shown some good things. So they're only giving up 2.5. I think that game's line is off. I think they should do better than that and beat Nebraska pretty handily. Oh, and one more game, the Fighting Belichicks. The Fighting Belichicks are back because they're actually playing some defense now, and they are home against woeful Stanford. I like, for the first time this year, give me them Tar Heels -7.5.
Hey, and you had the right side there. You had Pitt -14 against that Stanford squad too. So you're betting against the Trees 2 weeks in a row. So I like that.
The trees are a disaster. Yeah,
the Trees lost by 15. So
I cannot believe the Trees beat Mike Norvell and Florida State. That's got to be the most embarrassing. Florida State has the most surprising win of the year and the most embarrassing.
You mentioned the Oregon-Iowa game. Interesting enough, Iowa 6-1 against the spread this year too. They play ugly football. The over-under is 41.5. But man, when you're playing football like that, catching 6 is a pretty good number, particularly when you're at home. You mentioned the Auburn Tigers too, 3-6 against the number as they go on the road to take on Vanderbilt, catching 6.5. Kai, what's the middle of the games for you that you're looking at right now? And I know you have the right to change your mind at any given time, but I know you love some early games during the week as well. What do you like?
We've talked about most of them. But I'll tell you what, I mean, there's two games tonight I want to watch. I mean, for the MAC, you got Miami of Ohio at Ohio tonight. That is going to be a good game. You got first place versus fourth place in it. And Ohio plays very well at home. They're not very good on the road. But at home, they always have close games. I just don't know if I can give up 2.5 points with a team that is fourth in the conference against the first team, but I probably will. And then you got the Fighting UMass Tony Currys, otherwise known as the Minutemen, tonight at Akron.
That is a bad line.
That was a butt ugly game.
By the way, UMass, the only team in college football, 0-7 against the spread. They're 0-7.
I think it becomes 0-8 tonight. And then Thursday, UTSA and South Florida. I mean, South Florida's given up 14 to UTSA. I think UTSA can get inside that number maybe. Friday night, Houston, Central Florida. There's a lot of games to talk about. I think we do. We talk about it. I think we find out if Oregon's legit or not, depending on how they play at Iowa. I really like that Navy-Notre Dame total to go over. There's some games that we kind of touched on right there. Robbie Ashford and Wake at UVA. I like Virginia in that game. And some games that nobody's talked about but matter, especially as we go forward. UNLV giving up 4.5 at Colorado State. That interests me. I really thought that game was going to be more like 7, 7.5. I don't know what case makes it. I'd be interested. He probably has it at like 2. But then San Diego State -6.5 at Hawaii, and Hawaii has been on fire offensively. If that game gets to 7, I got to take Hawaii on the road there, even though San Diego State's first in the conference.
Yeah, but Hawaii giving up a lot of points, particularly this past weekend to San Jose State.
They absolutely have. I like what their offense can do. I really do.
No doubt. Some other interesting games. Tulane, Memphis, which is interesting. Memphis bouncing back, coming back from the UAB loss. Obviously, they get down on 17. They come back and win that ball game last weekend. They're giving up 6 and 55.5, kind of like the overnet ball game. Georgia, Mississippi State. Georgia giving up 8.5 on the road to start.
Too many.
One of the worst places. You think so? Too many to start?
Yep.
It's not
I
double,
do.
It's not double I do. Digits, but okay. You're hearing Kip saying take Mississippi State plus the 8.5. I'd feel better at 10. Ohio State giving up 30.5 at Purdue going this past weekend. They were the only team in college football that had not had a loss ATS, and they get it done again, -30.5 against Purdue. UAB playing at Rice, -2.5. There may be one game that's worse than that UMass game in Akron, and that may be UAB and Rice. So much for throwing the switch.
So we've abandoned the bowl game dream, right?
Yeah, the UConn game, that pretty much put that to rest. We're just happy college basketball started. They beat Mississippi Valley State last night by like 50. So we're all about Andy Kennedy's now. We won't give a shit about the football game. We're kind of done with that. And then, another couple of teams. You would have thought that Mark Stoops had won like the championship world last week by getting his third victory. He goes, he's 3-5. I don't know if that's a job saver for him or not, but a pair of 3-5 teams, Florida, Kentucky. And there's one thing that I remember going year in, year out, man, you always took Florida against Kentucky because Florida always blew Kentucky out. They're only giving up 3 at the Commonwealth this weekend. So maybe a little value there going
Kentucky in. Kentucky right. Need 2 wins to get over their 4.5 total.
That's true.
Our futures bet on Florida being under, we're all about Mark Stoops this week, right?
Yeah, we are.
I've got Florida over. I don't think it's going to win, but I'm on Florida this week too. I think Stoops is safe too. I think you saw it's something we mentioned on the show when we talked about it last time, but I think the Lexington Herald or whatever put a number on it. Supposedly this basketball roster is $22 million. Expensive basketball roster in the country at Kentucky this year. And just by all accounts, they're not putting any money into football. They don't want to pay the buyout. So I think if I was betting on Stoops being there next year or not, I think he's going
to
be there.
I think you beat Auburn. You beat Auburn on the road. That's good to save your job. I mean, period. It's still Auburn, but it's still, that was a huge victory for him, particularly against U3. So, yeah, he's going to hang his hat on that for sure.
You're going to have five openings already in the SEC because Petrino's not going to get the Arkansas job. So, I think Kentucky would be at the bottom of the barrel of who they could possibly get. So, Stoops will probably be around doing a great job at Kentucky again next year.
Hey, real quick, we got about 5 minutes, and I want to get into some NHL stuff if you guys want to, but who do you think Auburn wants to get, and who do you think they end up getting in that particular situation? Because right now, 5-10 years ago, you could certainly make an argument, maybe top five, top six job in the SEC. I don't even know if you put it there now anymore, because I think Auburn's shine is just done. I don't think anyone really cares. I know they continue to do all kinds of advantageous money things. They've rebuilt a scoreboard or something down there. They put another $3 million into some seating areas or whatever. I don't think anyone gives a squat. But what kind of coach do you think Auburn gets? Anybody?
I hate these things, so I can't believe I'm citing them. But and you guys are much better to talk about who they'll actually hire since you're in it. But I got sent the odds for all the big next coaching hires offshore. And I was shocked to see Auburn. They had the favorite as Kenny Dillingham, which I think would be an incredible hire. I don't see why he would leave, but I think people forget just how bad a shape Arizona State was in. One lawsuit the NCAA didn't lose. I mean, they threw the hammer at Arizona State for all the cheating they did with Herm Edwards and former Raiders coach Antonio Pierce. They had no scholarships. There's a reason they were 250-1 to win the Big 12 last year. I think it's Dillingham's alma mater, though. It's hard to make me think he's going to want to leave when his security's great there. He's getting paid well. They have good facilities. But, man, if you could get Kenny Dillingham, I'll give the Auburn fans some hopes. I think that would be a good hire. And the other good thing Auburn did was, it's crazy to say this, about $15 million, but Hugh Freeze's buyout was pretty modest. So
and this came out yesterday, they can stretch that over 8 years and just give him a paltry $2 million a year.
Well, and you know what? They did him a favor too. I mean, someone's going to take a shot on the particularly since he had, of course, some success there at Liberty, but no one really wanted to give him a shot. I think that was maybe one of the situations where the agent actually didn't get the better of that deal. And I'm kind of surprised because they seem to always get the better deal. Any other thoughts on that, Kipakai, as far as in who's the next head coach? And it's so funny, too, because everyone kept on. All my Auburn friends are like, as soon as Nick Saban's gone, it's over. I mean, we were going to power up because they thought Lane Kiffin was going to be the next head coach and blah, 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 blah. And here we are. They're worse off. They were better off when Nick Saban was the head coach in Alabama.
I just feel sorry for Hugh Freeze only getting $2 million a year over the next 8 years.
Yeah, isn't that a shame? Yeah.
Sucks.
I don't know how he's going to squeeze by.
Trent Dilfer got $2.4 million from UAB. I only get it over 1 year.
Definitely. Jimmy Sexton dropped the ball there. He was probably just desperate to get you plugged in somewhere. So
no doubt. The DJCC now is serving $14 hot dogs and $16 smart waters down the protected.
Yeah, but I've been watching the Jack's the Big Freeze with Cheese commercial was still running last night.
Yeah, we still run it.
They must have bought a shitload of those Big Freeze patties because they're still pushing that out.
What does he say at the divorce? Says something like, "We'll see who wins," and he says, "Yes, we will," or something.
Yes, we will.
We will.
You know, they're this close, you guys. This close.
Yeah.
It's another great time of year though, because you can literally choose now on a Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and then Saturday from 100 different games to wager on with NHL, NBA.
Oh, it's crazy.
Basketball. And a lot of places now take women's college basketball bets. And I would encourage anybody that's listening, if you're going to bet on women's college basketball, take the top 20 teams and only bet on them against shitty teams.
Give the points. Yeah. If you're going to give 40, so be it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I always love watching the NCAA tournament for the women in the first round because every game's are 50 or 60 point blowouts. That's the disparity. Kai's right on target that the top 15 or 20 teams tower over every other team. So any mismatch now, if you can get a line, just favorite, bet it and forget it.
You had three women's teams in preseason beat the teams they played against by 100 points or more.
That's just ridiculous. And yeah, and there's no mercy there. You know, when a men's team does it, well, they're just late. You know, they're just pouring it on. You know, they're just running up the score. The women don't have any hesitation about running up the score. It's just a lot more bloodthirsty, it seems like to me, in the women's ranks.
K4wins.com, K4wins.com. Special thanks, of course, to the fine folks at Coastal Digital Radio. We greatly appreciate them, of course, Tony Curry Radio, and always working to get out to more ears and more eyes. You can check us out on our YouTube channel, the Tony Curry Radio Network, and you can watch us live. Of course, we do the show every Tuesday and Fridays right around 10 o'clock Central Time right here on your phone or on your computer, whatever it is. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate you. We'll catch up again on Friday. Good luck.
All right, guys.
See you, man.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.